Welcome, everyone. By the time you finish this podcast, your favorite player may have been traded. It's been a wild, hot stove off season. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. So try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com. Enter offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. Like Matt Latos, start in San Diego. Go to Cincinnati. Go to the Marlins. Yoenis Cespedes, go to the Tigers. Everybody's going everywhere, guys.
And that's how they were informed of the trades.
Yeah,
they were just
by
told,
Squarespace.
Go. Get out of here.
Dallas Latos's Twitter feed the day that Matt Latos got traded was very awesome.
Yeah, that was must-see TV, even though it wasn't TV.
Well, fill me in. I know she's hot.
She was freaking out.
She was?
She was freaking out,
she
yeah.
She was happy?
Well, no, all the rumors flying around about Latos, she was like reactive to every single one of them.
All caps, many exclamation points. Somebody confirm this rumor, please.
Well, he's from down here. He's from
he is.
South
Creek,
Florida.
Right?
So, yeah. And so is Morse.
And Dee Gordon's a Floridian.
I didn't know that.
Marlins are stocking up on Florida guys.
Homegrown talent.
Anthony Rizzo next.
One way to do it. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, like half of all the, well, not half, but a quarter of all the big leaguers are from Florida. So.
But South Florida,
the odds are pretty
Florida.
Good. Well,
that's not true. What you talking about?
It's a it's a good pipeline there. Pipeline state.
I guess I didn't realize it was that good. Well, anyway, we're going to go through all of that today. Hitter news, pitcher news. Lots happened since we last spoke a week ago. Speaking of moving,
yeah.
What do you think? Shall we?
Let's.
Okay. If you listen to our fantasy football podcast, you already know. If not, I am going to start here and go to New York in a month. I am moving to New York City. My time at CBSSports.com is coming to an end.
Did you find out on Twitter?
Yeah, I did.
Were you traded?
I said it on the podcast this morning, and then everybody else talked about it on Twitter. So it's been very nice. A lot of support from the football listeners. I have a feeling I'll get it from the baseball listeners. I think they like me more than the football listeners do, probably because you guys are nicer to me. Whatever. It's been amazing. I've been here since 2009, and this podcast has grown so much.
So much. As the one who was on the podcast before you got here,
yeah.
I can confirm it's night and day. And
we have a great podcast, guys.
You know, it's largely because of you, Adam.
That's
no,
right.
It really is.
I
really
feel like
is.
you guide our discussions as if you had an invisible touch.
Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Your departure cuts like a knife.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I don't want to get too sappy, but I do want to thank everyone for listening throughout the years, and keep on listening after I'm gone.
Get a grip.
Hey, there you go. Now, you guys have made it possible for this podcast to be good, and you're very dedicated, so I got you guys presents open on the air. But I didn't have wrapping paper. So someone here at the office gave me some brown paper that I wrapped your presents in. But then I forgot whose was whose, and I couldn't see inside. So I think I remember. I got you both DVDs that I think you'll appreciate.
Oh,
this,
geez.
I think, is Scott's. This, I think, is Al's. Scott, go ahead.
It's got my name on it.
You can open, yeah. Well, I labeled it after, so I have no idea, but
let's
you can
make
go ahead
sure.
And open yours
let's confirm.
First.
Do we hear that? Do you hear that in the microphone?
These are things I learned about you through the podcast
the
that you have never seen.
Ah, yes. I believe you got the right one to the right person.
You did.
Scott gets the Godfather.
Never seen the Godfather, but I guess I will now.
And this could be any. I'm assuming this is a movie because it's the same shape and size. It could be any since I haven't seen any.
What do you
movies.
Think it is?
Oh, boy. I mean, really, there's too many to narrow down because seriously, all the movies you guys talk about, I've never seen. So we could spend half the podcast guessing. So I'm just going to go ahead.
For it. What do you think?
Oh, I should have guessed. Go ahead.
Is it The Three Amigos?
It is.
Yeah.
The movie that Al Melchior should have seen 1,000 times by now will be his new favorite.
You know, if you had told me Al Melchior had written that movie, Yeah, right.
I would have believed you.
Or Al, wait, what's your favorite movie, Al? Three Amigos, right? That's probably how it would have been my first question to you after getting to know you. But you've never seen it, so enjoy it. Watch it.
This will be remedied, yeah.
Okay, good stuff.
Maybe right when I get back to the desk.
Perfect. Happy holidays, guys.
Is this safe for work?
Yeah. Yeah, it's safe for work. It's probably PG-13. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Okay.
The Godfather, not so much.
I'm sorry I didn't get you anything.
Don't worry
about
it.
If I did, I would get you a kerosene hat.
What is that?
It's a Cracker album. And I just said that simply because I'm hoping that the guy who's their social media guy will send you a happy trails tweet.
Bring it on.
When he hears this.
That was awesome. All right, email of the day number one.
Did you get Jamie and Dave DVDs
too? I did. I haven't given them to them yet because Dave's hasn't arrived.
All right, okay. No. Yeah. Won't spoil it then. Sorry. Move on to your baseball stuff.
Tomorrow I hope to give them their gifts. Greg in Houston has email of the day number one. Dynasty League, who would you rather have, Justin Upton or George Springer?
I got to go Justin Upton there.
I do too. He's still, 26? He's got his whole career ahead of him, and he's already a stud.
Okay. Next up, email of the day number two from Ryan. Dear Alfredo, Shane, and Ioannis. Now, Al didn't get this initially. Do you get this? Alfredo, Shane, and Ioannis?
Well, I know Ioannis, obviously. Cespedes. But Shane and Alfredo.
Hot stove!
They're all new Tigers.
Yay! There you go.
Yes.
To keep myself busy during the offseason, I want to try and do my own rankings. Can you talk a little about your own process for doing this? The individual positions seem straightforward, but how do you go about the overall rankings? If this is too boring for the podcast, any tips over email would also be very appreciated. I don't think it is.
I think it'll be probably good contrast because when I do overall rankings, I rely pretty heavily on the auction values that I come up with, and those are based on projections.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I tweak a little around the edges, but, you know, for the most part, I go with that as a template. So, and Scott, I know you got a different process.
Well, I would assume Ryan's not going to go make projections.
Probably not. So you never know.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, if you're doing it at home instead of for the masses, we got to cater to every single format under the sun. So, you know, when you're just doing your own format, it's a lot easier because you know what types of players you can just ignore entirely. You know, you only have to go up to a certain depth, so that makes it a lot easier. I would, and I used to do this before I worked for CBS and I was just, you know, playing fantasy baseball like anyone else. I would start with somebody's rankings, our rankings or something, and then you know, go through the players one by one, analyze them for your own specific format, and tailor them to your own specific tastes. And you know, it's just kind of a feeling out process, I feel like. That's a good way to get started, though.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in one more, because you're right. Before, you know, I was working on this for an audience besides myself, I would rely, you said, you know, you would take another person's rankings or a site's rankings and start with that. I would take a metric from the season before. I think back in the day I was using runs created. You know, now there's all kinds of metrics. If I were doing it that way, I'd probably use weighted on base average and start with last year's rankings. And I wouldn't, that wouldn't be the final product, but that would be the starting point.
Cool. All right. Well, good stuff. Thank you for the email, Ryan. How about our injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace? I broke it down into hitter news and pitcher news. So the hitters, in my order of importance, maybe, kind of, not really. Melky Cabrera, 3 years, $42 million with the White Sox. So, you know, we can go down one by one. You guys tell me the impact, if you like it, if you don't like it. And Melky Cabrera was a top 25 outfielder last year. Pretty consistent hitter over the last 4 years, except for one season. But go on.
No, I mean, going to a hitter's park is nice. He was already at a hitter's park, but he's done well in pitcher's parks too, San Francisco and Kansas City. I think the thing about him is just the way he bounced back last year. It makes it... I think the most reasonable assumption is that bad 2013 season was more a result of the tumor on a spinal cord, which we didn't find out about until later, than the whole PED drama and you know, any effect ending that may have had on his numbers. So he still looks like a potential top 20 outfielder in fantasy, particularly in head-to-head leagues where he doesn't need the big power numbers and still gets credit for a low strikeout rate and a bunch of doubles.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree on Cabrera. And then Rios.
Yeah, Alex Rios to the Royals for 1 year.
Yeah, I was a big defender of Rios this time last year, saying, yeah, he's got this reputation for being inconsistent, but I think he had 3 out of 4 top 10 seasons or top 12, something like that, among outfielders. But he just fell so far off the map last year that I can't really get excited about this.
So what round would you draft Alex Rios in, guys?
You know, in a head-to-head points league, I probably wouldn't at all. You're talking only 3 outfielders, and that's not his best format anyway. Roto with 5 outfielders, I could see a late-round pick on him, 19 and up, just in case there is, just in case he does bounce back. And he has bounced back from miserable seasons before. I think twice in his career it looked like he was done,
I was
and he
say
came
that.
Roaring back the next year. So
got 9 lives.
You don't want to dismiss him entirely, but yeah, there's not a lot of reason to get excited about him right now.
Okay, then. Detroit acquired Yoenis Cespedes in a trade from Boston for Rick Porcello. I think I even missed the Shane Green one. Wait. Did we talk about that one last week?
I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't know that we did.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't remember talking about Shane Green
one.
Ever.
Yeah, I don't think we did. That was the Didi Gregorius one. Well, we must have.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
I'm telling you, we didn't, Adam.
Well,
just let it go.
I tell you, I don't know if this is Dave Dombrowski's thinking, but he has essentially replaced Porcello with Shane Green. Or I guess you could look at it as Alfredo Simon. But I think, I like Shane Green a lot. And so as nice of a breakout as Porcello had last year, I think Green could have a similar season this year and probably with quite a bit more strikeouts.
I'm a little afraid of Shane Green regressing.
Only because he's not wearing that Yankees uniform.
No, I mean, I did like him. I was a supporter of his last year. I thought he had pretty good stuff. I just don't think he has a very diverse arsenal. So people might catch on to him. Porcello's better.
Well,
I don't think you're going to argue that.
Yeah, but I think he could be a close replacement. And like I said, I actually do think he'll give more strikeouts.
What are we talking about pitchers for? We got the whole second half of the podcast for that. This is about Cespedes right now.
Oh, yeah. There's this little header here. Hitter news.
Yeah.
I said, that's just what stood out to me, especially since you brought up the Shane Green.
I got to check last week's notes and see if we talked about Didi Gregorius. But let's talk about Cespedes, guys.
Yeah,
what do you think about him as a Tiger?
I think he's got similar value. Top 30-ish among outfielders.
Okay. But he was more. Where was he last year, Cespedes? He was like top 15.
Yeah,
pretty close to that.
Yeah, I think I have him a little higher than top 30.
He was 17th in points and 15th in Roto. He's a good bet for 20 home runs. We're not worried about the park.
No,
I mean he thrived in Oakland,
right?
So it's and it's a thing where it's pretty clear what his strengths and weaknesses are. His strengths are he hits home runs. His weaknesses are just about everything else.
His on-base percentage.
Particularly plate discipline, and which can impact his batting average. We've seen him hit for a pretty good average before, but not so much in recent years. I wouldn't be counting on that. But like you said, just who he was last year, a 250-ish hitter, he still managed to show up that high in the rankings. And I think it's because power is so hard to find these days, and he definitely provides that. So secure role. I think maybe the injury risk is what I'd guard against more than anything else when targeting him. And then obviously in a roto league, you need to account for a possibly not so exciting batting average.
Melky or Cespedes, who do you have ahead?
I should have Melky ahead. I'm sure I do.
You know, it probably depends on the format. I got head-to-head pulled up here. I actually have Cespedes 3 spots ahead of Melky in head-to-head points also.
Okay. So you know, instead of just going down the list, D. Gordon to the Marlins, Michael Morse to the Marlins, Chase Headley back with the Yankees, Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick are now the Dodgers middle infielders, Jed Lowry is with the Astros. Didi Gregorius is with the Yankees. Kendrys Morales is on the Royals. Which ones really stand out to you? Has anything really changed your rankings or your thoughts?
Yeah, in this group, I bumped D. Gordon up in my roto rankings.
You did?
I did, because I think I had him. Well, I had him seventh, and I think I dropped him to eighth. And I moved after the trade. I moved him up to fifth because I don't think the Marlins will platoon him. Mike Redmond's not really much of a platooning manager. I don't think there's a clear platoon candidate there, and that's something that I think we were a little concerned about.
Yeah,
with the Dodgers.
No, it definitely weighed into that my ranking of him. So that might be something I look at too. Yeah, as far as hitters changing in value, you know, it seems like Rollins. There's so much risk for him to drop off at the age he's at anyway. That you know you're drafting him with your fingers crossed as it is, but going from Philadelphia to the Dodgers can't be a good thing for his power.
I did the breakdown, though, and he did hit more home runs on the road last year. He had 17 home runs. Rollins hit 10 of them on the road.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help for what it's worth. It doesn't help.
Yeah. But I kind of like Lowry going back to Houston because, you know, he first turned the corner there. Obviously, it's a better place to hit than Oakland. And I don't really understand completely what went wrong for him last year, but that two-year stretch, he was a useful fantasy option, and I think he could get back to that. Clearly, the Astros think he can get back to that, too, giving him a three-year deal.
I guess a lot of stuff happened, but I don't know if anything earth-shattering crazy happened with the hitters.
One thing I wanted to point – yeah, in terms of changing the actual hitter's value, maybe not, but the pitchers for the teams – some of these hitters move to. I'm talking specifically the Dodgers going from Hanley Ramirez and D. Gordon up the middle to Jimmy Rollins and Howie Kendrick. Those are two of the better defenders at those positions, two of the worst to two of the better. You would probably know this offhand better than I would, Al, which Dodgers pitchers tend more to ground balls than fly balls.
Yeah, let's see. Well, you know, Kershaw we're not going to worry about.
Right.
Or Greinke, and Greinke's been very consistent in that regard.
Well, McCarthy.
But McCarthy's probably, I think he's the one that's going to get the most impact.
Yeah.
From that.
Yeah. And I actually thought of it because when we were talking about Shane Green just a minute ago, Shane Green's an extreme ground ball pitcher. You know, he had Derek Jeter as a shortstop last year. Now he, Jose Iglesias.
Right.
You know, Ian Kinsler, mixed reviews, but for a lot of his career, he's been considered a good defender. So that's a good situation for him, too. It plays to his strengths.
Well, the pitchers are interesting. Do you guys like Didi Gregorius, by the way?
No.
No?
Not for fantasy.
How about Chase Headley?
Headley's
Yankees numbers are a little deceiving. I don't know why people think he was good. He really wasn't. He slugged under 400. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He drew some walks, but...
Yeah, he did draw a lot of walks.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's... You know, he's 3 years removed from the breakout and hasn't done a lot since. And in that time, we've sort of run out of excuses for Headley. But I certainly don't like him as much as I did a year ago. But I still think, given what his age is and what he did accomplish in that one year. He's a good late round flyer for that potential upside.
It's still in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something there and he can rediscover it. Pitcher news. So some minor ones. Jason Mott is on the Cubs.
That's not necessarily minor.
The amount of money they gave him surprised me. I guess they're hoping that he's back and could be their closer.
It surprised me too.
But he didn't pitch well last year, really.
And Rondon did. So the fact that there's speculation that there's going to be a closer competition was a little surprising to me. But
Hector Rondon was especially good in the second half. And then they have Neil Ramirez there, too. He was their best reliever overall.
True, yeah.
So I don't know if... Just the money tells me they must have seen something that we don't know about. Because, yeah, his velocity was way down when he came back from Tommy John. And look... Neftali Feliz's was at the beginning of last year, too, and by the end of the year, he had regained it. So it's not a deal-breaker for Mott, who was a great closer before the procedure. But I am surprised we're considering him as a candidate for saves going into 2015.
How about Matt Latos to the Marlins?
The Marlins.
You like it?
Well, as if I can step out, take off my fantasy analyst
hat. Take off the headset.
Okay. No. People won't hear, but as a Marlins fan, I'm very excited about that, even if it is just the walk year of his contract.
Yeah.
And look, for fantasy, I do think it can't be a bad thing for him. The Reds offensively, not so good last year. Marlins beefing up their lineup a bit. And a good pitcher's park, so I think it's a plus for Latos all around. And, of course, the big question mark is if his velocity is going to come back. But
very surprising he actually had better numbers at home than on the road in two of his three seasons with Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird for him.
That doesn't mean he had bad numbers on the road or anything, but he was a very, very solid pitcher. And struggled a little bit last year. But the strikeout rate was 6.5.
Yeah, so he struggled there, but pretty much elsewhere.
325 ERA.
He thrived in spite of that.
Yeah.
So with the rebound, and I don't see a reason to think that he can't rebound at least somewhat, he should be pretty much a must-start guy.
Alfredo Simon to the Tigers. Irvin Santana to the Twins. You like it?
I don't know that it really changes my impression of Santana.
Let's see. Let's see your impression.
I
like Irvin Santana.
My impression of Irvin Santana is I'm going to follow everyone on Twitter because that's what he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he follow you guys?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't follow me.
He's like one of 50,000 followers or people he follows. I can't. Like when you get followed by somebody with a... you know, the check mark next to his name, and then you see he has that many people he's following, it's like...
it's a letdown.
It doesn't count, you know?
I can see that being disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that he was pretty good last year, except for two bad stretches. And obviously the year before he was great, Irvin Santana, so, you know.
I like it for the Twins, and I feel like that puts me in a minority, because it seems like most of the reaction to it has been meh or worse. But
I like it.
But there seems to be a start of a pattern here last year with Hughes and Alaska, where they seem to be targeting guys who have the peripherals and have the stuff to be much better than what their results have shown. And with Hughes, it worked out great. And, of course, it wasn't just, you know, reversal of bad luck. Right? I mean, Hughes also revamped his arsenal a bit, and I think that had a lot to do with it. But, it didn't work out with Nolasco, and Santana's just somebody who perennially seems like he should be better.
And didn't Irvin Santana, wasn't he like one of the top guys, or maybe the very top guy in, I don't know if
followers?
It was chasing pitches or...
swinging strikes.
Yeah,
swinging
strikes. Yeah. Very high. Like something that just like, why isn't this guy better? And just from the eye test, like, since he was, you know, just with the Braves, I saw a lot more of him last year than ever before. I mean, the guy looks like he should be awesome.
Right.
and he's not.
But he was awesome for chunks of the season.
Yeah.
Remember, he had a – I have it written down. Let me look it up here. He had a six-start stretch in May and June with a 6.44 ERA and a 6.65 ERA in his last four starts. But he started the year as like the Cy Young for the, I don't know, first five or six starts. Then he was terrible. Then he rebounded. It was pretty good. It was, you know, he pretty probably started in most weeks.
I mean, I think a worst case scenario of Santana, you're still owning him. Best case scenario, he's, you know, maybe your fourth or fifth starter in a mixed league. But then there may be even that better than best case scenario, just based on what the Twins did with Hughes last year, that I'm not willing to completely discount. I don't think I'm spending more than a late round pick on Santana, but it's just interesting based on, based on what happened with Hughes last year.
In an NL only league, are you more interested in Brett Anderson, the Dodger, or Brandon Morrow, the Padre?
Yeah, similar risk, obviously. I think I'm more interested in Anderson.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Yeah.
And
he'll benefit what Scott was talking about with the improved middle infield defense. He should benefit from that a lot.
And then the Red Sox now have Rick Porcello, Wade Miley, and Justin Masterson in their rotation. So how about that?
How about it?
A lot of ground balls for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, there's not really room for
anyone else either. It's like a full rotation.
If Masterson's in the rotation,
they've said he was in the rotation.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they could always change their mind, but
yeah, because I there were some conflicting things, and you're right, they could change their mind.
Yeah, and you know, it would probably be a letdown considering they're paying him $10 million. I don't know. I don't know. I would feel good about that as someone, a fan of another team in the AL East, looking at that Red Sox rotation, even with what they've done to change their lineup this year.
What I can't understand, Al, is if Wade Miley is such a ground ball pitcher, how come he was so extreme with the home road splits?
Yeah, because there are some ground ball pitchers that when they make mistakes, they get hammered, and he seems to be one of them. And he had these, you know, crazy lopsided home road splits, so that should help him to some degree to get out of Arizona. But
well, he ain't exactly going to Kansas City.
yeah. Well, it's Doubles Park. So. Yeah. That could be just as bad for his fantasy health.
And Andrew Heaney is on the Angels. Does he have a rotation shot?
A weird sequence of events.
Yeah, he was on the Dodgers for about 5 minutes.
Sent a great tweet at the end of his tenure. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it was like, thanks for the memories or whatever.
It's been quite a run.
Like, it seemed like the Dodgers got Heaney back for Gordon, and everybody was like, oh, man, what a deal. And then they trade Heaney to get Kendrick for 1 year. And it's I don't know what it was all for. Kendrick is better than Gordon. I'm not like in a real life sense.
Oh,
not in fantasy.
I didn't put Matt Kemp on here.
All
right, we got to talk about
miss.
That.
Start the podcast.
I don't think it's finalized, so I think you're off the hook.
I don't like what the Dodgers have done.
Yeah, I those two moves. The first move, getting Heaney for Gordon, I thought was great. But then following it up, 1 year of Kendrick, and then trading away Kemp, who's their, if not their biggest bat, their second biggest bat, for, I don't know, some peripheral pieces, it seems like to me. I understand Yasmani Grandal has some upside that he hasn't met, but I don't know why you can assume he's going to meet it all of a sudden.
No. Losing Hanley Ramirez, Matt Kemp, and D. Gordon from the lineup last year, I don't think they're going to be very good offensively. I don't think they're going to be bad.
I think Kendrick for Gordon, again, and this is differentiating real life for fantasy. I think just for the year Kendrick is there, it's at worst an even and maybe an upgrade. But just from the perspective of, okay, now they're the ones giving up a top pitching prospect for 1 year of a less than elite player in Kendrick, and that just seemed strange to me.
Well, they really gave up D. Gordon and Dan Haren for Kendrick.
Right.
Well, except then they had Heaney in their possession, so I can't really assess it that way. I mean, even if you're just seeing Heaney as a means to an end, he's too good for that, I feel like.
I don't know that they would have made the deal without the second part, though. I don't know that they... I mean, it might have been... It wasn't a three-team deal, but... From their standpoint, it probably was a three-team deal. Like, they knew what they were doing, obviously. They weren't going to trade D. Gordon without getting Kendrick back. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it happened so close one after the other that you would pretty much have to assume that. I don't think it was so bad. But it sort of depends on what they do next. Just like with all the A's moves that have everybody scratching their heads, you have to think there's more happening, and especially the Dodgers with the financial resources that they have, and now, you know, getting Kemp, you know, first of all out of the outfield and opening that up for Jock Peterson, so that's part of the calculation too.
Now they're paying, they're giving the Marlins money for Haren, right?
$10 million, yeah.
And if Haren retires,
they keep it.
The $10 million,
right?
Yeah.
Now, the Marlins are supposedly trying to, or at least considering flipping Haren if he wants to go back to SoCal.
But I couldn't believe that. They're giving up D. Gordon and Haren and paying for Haren. Even if Haren retires, they're giving the Marlins $10 million.
Well, they're the Dodgers.
And they're throwing him money.
It's like 10 cents for you.
Eventually,
like, Adam, can
the
I have
Yankees
a dime?
Are running into this. Eventually, it doesn't work that way.
But when it's just 1 year, it's... 1 year and done.
Yeah,
you know, it's the long term things, the A-Rod contracts that have bogged the Yankees down.
But they're gonna. I mean, they just gave Kershaw a $700 million deal.
Yeah, but he's Kershaw.
Yeah. Would you have not? Would you have not given Kershaw that deal?
I would have. Okay.
What I
thought. Anyway, Heaney on the Angels, Kemp on the Padres. What do we think here?
All right. Well, you asked about Heaney first, I think, and I don't know that he'll start the year with the Angels. They've made a couple of nice little deals. They got Nick Tropiano, Cesar Ramos. I feel like I'm forgetting another pitcher that they may have acquired, but they're clearly stockpiling and starting pitching depth is something that they've lacked for a few years. So, I think, and Garrett Richards comes back, I think in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Heaney sort of facing a similar situation that he did last year that I think maybe mid season we see him and maybe we see him earlier for a short period, but I think probably for good later in the season.
Right, how about Kemp? Does this kill him?
No.
He can hit anywhere.
Okay. Did you move him down at all?
No.
I didn't change a thing.
I think you should. Why?
Well, he is. I mean, look, I agree with Scott that Kemp can hit probably just about anywhere. I mean, it is a pretty serious downgrade.
It's also about...
of a park.
The lineup. It's not going to be as good.
And that, too. If I'm going to change anything, it's going to be the runs and RBI. But
I don't think the Padres are done with their lineup. They seem to be one of the teams most rumored to be in on Justin Upton still. So and they seem like they're making a real push to compete this year. So I think that lineup's it's not going to be what the Dodgers was, but it's going to be good enough. And Kemp, I think Kemp's value is just tied to Kemp himself. The way he got back on track over the final 4 months last year, I think it was, basically the Kemp of old minus the stolen bases, and that was an MVP caliber player. So
who was the last right-handed hitter that had a good season for the Padres?
Well, that's...
not that they've had very good
ones. They haven't had good right-handed hitters. That's been the bigger
Quentin
issue.
Was a failure. But Headley and Adrian Gonzalez are the only guys I can think of that have had good years for them.
Well,
and
Quentin did okay on a per at bat basis. The problem was he just couldn't stay healthy. He hit home runs like he did for the White Sox.
Okay. It's interesting. It's a very interesting trade. Turning the NL West upside down. Unbelievable. Well, guys, I want to remind everyone today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. And it's getting better and better, and it's staying at that low price of $8 a month. So get on it right now and get started building your website. And if you have any trouble, 24/7 customer service. It's great for Squarespace. They have an amazing support team that's always available for you. Redesigned Squarespace 7 interface. You got Google Apps, Getty Images, 15 new templates, and cover pages. And your device is going to look great on every device. Excuse me, your website's going to look great on every device, every single time. If you want to get 10% off, go have some fun. Use the offer code FUN when you check out on Squarespace.com. We want to thank Squarespace for their support. That's Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And here's Jerry. This is just a correction from Jerry. Last week, I had written in and addressed the three of you as Bernard, Brian, and Ray. I wasn't intending on stumping you, but wanted to let you know that the link between these three, they're all Cardinals outfielders of the 90s. Bernard Gilkey, Brian Jordan, and Ray Langford.
God, it seems so obvious.
I know. when they missed this?
Yeah.
You weren't intending to stump us, huh? Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of corrections, last podcast, the Astros had signed two relievers, Luke Gregerson and Pat Neshek, and we were not really sure who was going to close for them. I was thinking it would be Neshek. Actually, it seems like they're going to try Gregerson in that role first, which I think is who Al was rooting for.
Yeah, and then we talked about this, and then I went and did a little research to see what I could find. And yeah, it seems like it might be up for grabs. I don't know. It's not clear, but...
At least one of the reports I read said Gregerson. So yeah, I guess it'll probably depend somewhat on spring performance, but when I'm ranking relievers, I'm going to have Gregerson in there over Neshek.
And moving on to Mark from Vancouver. Dear Rocky, Colton, Tum Tum,
Something a week from now that will be very obvious.
Nah.
Is it like squirrels?
No.
No.
You know it, Clear. Three Ninjas.
No.
We get this one a lot.
Three Ninjas
Kick
Back.
You know,
that's
a movie that I saw in my childhood, that I loved in my childhood, that I have absolutely no interest in seeing again. I bet it is beyond terrible. Not interested.
You know, I wasn't interested when it was out.
I loved it when it was out.
Yeah.
Rocky loves Emily. 12-team mixed roto keeper league. Keep 14 players. The draft starts with three rounds of picking up free agents. Let's see if I could skip this here. Would you rank the following players? He gives us who he's keeping. So rank the following players in the order that you would pick them. Springer, Corey Dickerson, Jorge Soler, Mookie Betts, Mark Melanson, Drew Storen, Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller. Springer, Dickerson, Soler, Betts, Melanson, Storen, Dellin Betances, and Miller.
So this is a toughie. It's not just pick the top three. It's
rankings.
Rank them all. All right. So I'll start. Boy, these outfielders are tough. But I will go Dickerson, Springer. Oh, boy. Soler, Betts. Somebody have a coin I can flip there? I guess I'll go Soler, then Betts.
I do not.
And then the Betances-Miller thing to me is so much dependent on the role. I guess I'll assume Betances is going to close. I'll go Storen first. I'm making a mess of this. Storen, Betances, Melanson, Miller.
Okay. Well, the outfielders we have the same. Dickerson, Springer, Soler, Betts. Closers would have been the same if you went No, actually, I moved Storen a couple spots down. Betances, Melanson, Storen, and then Miller.
Moving on. Next up, we have Ricky. Hello, Ricky. He says, hello, Milo, Bob, and Pickles. These feel like pet names to me.
Milo, there's Milo and Otis.
Yeah.
There's Tommy Pickles.
Was Milo the dog or the cat?
Milo was the cat.
Yeah, I feel like these are cats for some reason. Oh, no, these are the Oblongs. Fairly funny show.
Short-lived, though, right?
I guess. I saw reruns all the time, but I never saw it like when it was.
Meh.
Okay. Anyway, can keep 8 players with no restrictions. Can't believe I thought they were cats. Head to head, 10-team, 7x7, inning pitch, quality starts, total bases, OPS. Okay, here we go. Keeping Starlin Castro, Giancarlo Stanton, Matt Kemp, and Jacoby Ellsbury. Uncertain about Prince Fielder, Alex Wood, Yu Darvish, Corey Kluber, Albert Pujols, and Josh Donaldson. So he needs to keep 4 of those. Fielder, Wood, Alex Wood. Yu Darvish, Kluber, Pujols, Donaldson.
Well, Pujols, for me, is the first guy out.
No go on Pujols.
No,
I think I'd rather
on.
Keep him than Fielder. But
yeah, me too.
But whatever. They're probably both out. Not necessarily.
You know what? I don't know why he's so attached to Starlin Castro.
I'm with you, Scott.
I'd kick Castro out and keep Wood, Darvish, Kluber, Donaldson, and Pujols. I'd have Pujols over Castro, and those would be my 8.
I'm with you on Castro. I'm keeping Fielder over Pujols.
Hi, Nelson, Nick, and Andrew. Come on, hot stove.
Orioles outfielders, past and present. No,
you're almost there.
All right, so yeah. Oh wait. Oh, they're Orioles that have left.
Correct.
Free agency.
Andrew Miller, not an outfielder.
Yeah.
This is Goro from Charm City, which is Baltimore, and a burger place around us, which is great. Keeper question: 12-team head-to-head categories with middle infielder and corner infielder. I can keep up to 7. I can keep for 4 more years. Keeper clock resets once a player is dropped from a roster. I get the last pick in the first round. So he can keep up to 7, and he's keeping Goldschmidt, Rizzo, Harper, Kemp, and Springer. So now he needs 2 more out of this group. Carlos Santana, Jose Reyes, Kyle Seager, Cole Hamels, and Julio Teheran.
4 more years. I am going to go, I don't know, Hamels and... You know, I'm going Hamels and Teron. I'm leaving Santana out because he's going to be first base only, I think, beginning next year for the rest of his career, and that's going to hurt his value a bit.
And it's categories.
Yep, yep. Not so his best format.
So I'm bored with your picks.
And finally, Tyler in the Quad Cities. Dear Derek, David, and Nigel.
This is going to be so obvious next week.
Spinal Tap.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
I think I should quit the podcast before you.
10-team Roto League keeper question. I can keep three of the following for an indefinite amount of time with the three keepers accounting for my first three picks in next year's draft. These are my best options. Felix Hernandez, Bryce Harper, Josh Donaldson, Anthony Rendon, Jose Abreu, George Springer, Will Myers, and Justin Upton. My goodness. He can only keep three?
Oh, boy.
Felix, Harper, Donaldson, Rendon, Abreu, Springer, Will Myers, or Justin Upton. And he says, thanks, and hello, Cleveland.
There's four clear standouts for me, so that's a tough one. But I'll let you take the first swing at this one, Al.
All right. I'm thinking, yeah, this is tough. Maybe it's the same four we're thinking of, too. But I'm thinking Felix, Abreu, and really tough for me between Rendon and Upton.
Well, you kept three. Sorry.
So I'll go Upton here.
Upton was not one of the four. Donaldson was. But I guess, I guess the age factor makes Rendon a pretty easy call over him. Did you pick Upton over Rendon?
Yes. Yes.
So how early are you projecting Upton to go next year? Because I have Rendon as an early second rounder. Do you have him?
Right around the same.
Right around the same?
Yeah.
Well, my four are Felix, Abreu, Rendon, and... those are my three. Those are my three, right there.
Felix, Abreu, Rendon?
Yep.
And same for you?
And I went Upton over Rendon, but that was a tough call.
And nobody's going Harper here. It didn't even seem like you were contemplating it.
Well, I would go him over Upton. But
yeah.
I mean, the others are just... They're already what you're hoping Harper will eventually be, you know?
And I guess
young themselves.
If I were going to just, bicker with you about it, I would say that you could think that Harper could develop into the second best player in baseball.
Yeah, I'm not really. It's possible.
He's been unfairly judged.
But I think, I think if he becomes a consistent 280 hitting 30 homer guy, that'll be a win. And anything beyond that, I'm not counting on.
I think we were both just thinking of going for the more sure thing. Somebody, yeah. Maybe they're not going to be an elite, but somebody that's going to be awfully close to that what you're getting.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. A very, very funny email in the baseball, in the football inbox. It's the subject is, did I say why I'm moving up to New York?
Not on this podcast.
Here. Oh, I'm moving
the people
up
on that other podcast
for my
get
girlfriend
all the good stuff.
Who lives up there. Not for a job. I don't have a job. I have a girlfriend.
Jobless.
She's hot. Anyway,
she better be.
This email is...
Girlfriend or Dallas Latos?
Oh, well,
You pretty much have to say girlfriend.
I don't like blondes, really, so yeah. I go girlfriend.
Sorry, all the blondes out there.
Says, don't do it, Jamie. Jamie, come on, man. Don't do it for a girl. It will come back and bite you in the booty. You make this podcast. It won't be the same without you, my man.
Don't go, Jamie.
Yeah. Jamie's not going anywhere. And also, podcast was spelled POPCOAST.
Popcast.
Pop coast.
Pop. I love when I get credit, or oftentimes it seems more like blame for something.
I know.
Al says on the podcast.
Well, that's okay, because I got congratulated. I got congratulated for having a new baby.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Congratulations, dude.
I mean, just voices, so,
Well, fine. I've had so much fun, and I want to thank everyone for listening. And, that's it. Thank you, Scott and Al.
Thank you, Adam.
Good stuff.
It's been a pleasure. Honestly, Adam, You know, I know you get a lot of grief from the football guys, but you have been my favorite person to work with these last 5 years.
Come on, no
all
way.
The effort you put into
Al's
this.
I'm standing right here, man.
I think
I've been here longer.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. You guys have been great.
You are definitely the best podcast host in the studio.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Other than Glear over there. And I want to thank you guys for teaching me how to play fantasy baseball and making me love fantasy baseball. And to all the listeners, the podcast is only as good as the listeners and all your interaction, all your feedback, your emails, your tweets, and all that. That's why it's a good show. So thanks again. All right, for Scott White, now Melky. Oh, I can't screw up my last outro. For Scott White, now Melky, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next time. That was me. See you later. Thanks again.